The following is an at-will presentation.
Angels and gods and aliens, please help me. I pray for myself and pray for my family and friends and lovers and strangers and enemies. Shine light down on them and me so I can properly see me. I pray in the name of love, just be, not this, not that, beyond definition, me.
The sexual continuum, male and female extremes and mediums, intersexual bohemian, not this, not that, I kid you none, born with parts unlike the premiums, stop. These premiums we've deemed binarically, numerically, two or one are done. I'm more interested in the infinite between the 1.2s, 1.34s, 1.81s. The sum of her cells have XX and some have XY chromosomes. Baby, born, boy or girl, no exception. However, some, roughly 1 in 2,000, when it comes to sex chromosomes, gonadal forms, levels of hormones, and the what you see on the outside don't match what they have on the inside comes beautiful. Baby, different and beautiful. Unconventional mediums, the new premiums. The future is non-binary, fact, but so is the past. Swept under the rug by doctors programmed dumb, pink and blue fairy tales, but doc, what about all the other colors where magic comes from? You telling me you're gonna surgically mutilate, fuck with God's fate, so my baby can skate like the rest of them? They already the best of them. You discriminate the in-between, breed hate, sight, scene, let the fucking babies be. Beautifully, pre-surgically, created perfectly, intersexually, intellectually. Actually believe. Hannah Gabby Odiel, born October 8th, 1987 in Belgium. Light at the end of the tunnel popped out, labeled androgen insensitivity syndrome. I know nothing about this girl, her story, or where she comes from, but I know that she's the new premium. Supermodeled, pounding runways, Marc Jacobs, Chanel, Balenciaga, Givenchy, and Prada, the greats. Fashion royalty, kingdom. Hit her with a car and she'll still become. Get up, girl, get you some. Cover of Vogue. Part of the story, LGBTQ, now I, glory. Feminism is a spectrum. Interact, activism. If there is no sex, there's no sexism. The sexual continuum. Keep this conversation continuing.
Explosive shockwaves can cause situations such as body displacement, emotional breakthroughs.
This is a conversation with a stop. For the last 24 episodes, I have irresponsibly fed into the binary of gender. Labeling these episodes, this is a conversation with a man, a woman, a boy, a girl. I don't even know how I came up with them sometimes. I'm done with it. All of these conversations are with human beings, and that's what they should be labeled. I'm done feeding into the binary.
Above all,
this is a conversation with a human I love named Hannah. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know much about intersex at all before I like have really jumped into the world of it within these past couple weeks, and I am just like so blown away on how nobody talks about it.
Right?
And the numbers are just so staggering. Like 1 in 2,000, that was the same as redheads.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And like just now it's starting to be talked about.
We have been talking about it, actually, but it's more like a local thing usually. And I feel like more and more now with the trans community that has been spoken out, I feel like the conversation for intersex people is ready as well. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the time is now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know what intersex is, if you meet somebody and like they ask, what is intersex? How do you answer that question?
It's someone that's born without the typical definition of male and female. That can be through chromosomes. It can be through body parts that are a little bit different, like gonads, mm-hmm. Hormones. Like for instance, me, I have one of there's like 30 different over 30 different variations.
Over 30 yeah. variations. Wow.
Some people call it condition. Mm-hmm. I'd say my intersex trait is androgen insensitivity syndrome. Mm-hmm.
AIS.
Yeah, AIS. Yes. It's a difficult one still for me to pronounce. But that means that I'm born with XY chromosome, mm-hmm. which chromosomes, which are typically for males.
Right.
But my body rejected
testosterone.
Yeah. Yeah. I was born with internal testicles, mm-hmm. testes, gonads. There's many different ways to say it.
Right.
But my body developed female too mm-hmm. at the same time before I was born. So from the outside, I look female.
Right.
But
and when
my
you were
DNA
born,
makeup,
it was it's a girl like
yes,
immediately.
Yes.
Yes.
When I was born, congratulations, it's a girl, and my parents, yay.
Yeah.
But then I had like some sort of infection. It had nothing to do with being intersex.
Right.
It was like something in my stomach or something. It was not a big deal. But I went to the doctor and they took some blood tests. And the doctor was like, oh, no worries, your son will be okay. He just needs some antibiotics. And my parents were like, well, okay, cool that he's going to be okay. But it's a daughter. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, now I have to do more tests. And then, yeah, so I have XY chromosomes.
You have XY chromosomes.
And
this isn't something that, like, they test on babies when they're born. Like, they're not drawing blood and being like, these are your chromosomes immediately.
Yeah. So some people, actually a lot of people find out way later in their teenage years,
yeah.
yes, that they are intersex. And even people, I know people that are in my, the group that I work with, Interact, that know in their 40s even. Yeah. Sometimes it's hidden so deep and they use excuses in the medical world that even the patient will never find out.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these numbers that we have, 1 in 2,000, they're actually probably more than that because we just don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've like been like falling into this wormhole online and just being like, what if this is the answer to like so many questions unknown about gender and sexuality? Like, You know, it's just.
I mean, even I feel like gender. Was back in the day, there was like multiple genders in many cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Even today, in like Native American cultures, there's still multiple genders.
Right. In the Torah, there's like seven different genders described.
It's like something of like the past few hundred years mm-hmm. that all of a sudden we have to fit in this binary female, male world.
This normative,
If you don't fit in that physically already, then they just want to build you in that norm, in that mm-hmm. category, either male or female now, because now they have the medical
procedures
when
you're born.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you're born to mm-hmm. fix you into that.
So there are some babies that are born that that physically look like they have something in between the two, correct?
Sure, yes.
And
then,
so there are a lot of doctors, not all of them anymore, but there are a lot of doctors that still will immediately perform surgery to make them physically look male or female, correct?
Not a lot, but still actually more than enough, way more than enough.
Right.
It's still happening, way more than enough that this is still happening. Correct, yeah. Yeah.
Just because they think they're saving this child from some sort of like embarrassment later on in life, some sort of like, you know, social disorder, right?
Yeah, I feel like it all comes from like a fear of non-binary bodies in a way, and like heterosexual propaganda in a weird way. Like, I don't know. It all starts with John Money. I don't know if you're familiar with John mm-hmm. Money. No, he's like a psychologist who.
Oh, yeah.
Who made this whole statement, gender is built through nurture.
Mm.
Some kid had some freaky accident and he had a botched circumcision.
Yeah.
And they made him into a girl after.
Right.
And so he was successful for like his first few years mm-hmm. growing up
as a girl.
So the
parents decided they were just going to raise him as a girl.
They had to raise him as a girl because literally his penis was gone.
Mm-hmm.
But that had nothing to do with intersex, first of all.
Right, but they constructed it into
the gender,
a vagina. Yeah.
Yeah, the gender agenda was like, he's successful, he's growing up, he's doing great. So that's how we're going to treat intersex kids. Mm. Guess what? He matured and realized, okay, I was never a girl when I was born. Mm-hmm. And it was a very sad story, tragic story. He killed himself. Mm. But still, this agenda from John Money, who is one of, like, he gets awards every so many years still. Right. The gender idea. Agenda is still based on...
Nurture versus nature.
Yeah, exactly. Which most intersex people completely agree. It's not like that.
Yeah, they disagree with that. Yeah.
Especially like certain, like you can be growing up and it's like they never, not always wrong. Like I'm female. Mm-hmm. I identify as a she. Mm-hmm. My pronouns are she.
Right.
But the surgeries are not necessary.
Right.
You know, you don't have to do crazy interventions. Mm-hmm.
Because there's no like immediate harm from these surgeries, from not having these surgeries. Right?
I don't believe in surgeries if they're not necessary medically.
Right, medically
necessary. Mm-hmm. And in most cases of intersex, we can wait at least until the child is old enough, like 18 years old, to decide.
So he can
for
have,
himself.
He,
yeah.
She can have the option,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's really just so fascinating. Like,
it's happening more and more. I feel like now the dawn of the internet, it's changing. But I feel like there should be specific laws maybe made. The hospitals cannot just act in the way of that what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, still, people can just do that. And they should just be able to. There's no necessary medical interventions needed. They should just
let the babies
wait until the child is old enough for them to decide themselves.
To make the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's cases, you know, where you have a girl who's like, I don't know, who's clitoris or something, maybe like five times the size. And in history, they have gone and like removed that
part
of the clitoris.
They do that. And even if it's like a tiny bit bigger than it's they have like a little like a meter,
a chart,
like,
yeah,
they have like a chart. I forgot the name. It's a very funny name, actually. Mm-hmm. Is it like I forgot the name, actually. Yeah. Sorry. But
like a penis has to be this size.
Yes.
And a clitoris has to be this size. Yeah. And like the
it's a very silly way of how they measure if someone is female or male.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
I read something yesterday that they decide if a boy is a boy if they think that his penis could penetrate a vagina at some point.
Yeah.
If it's big enough to penetrate.
It's all based on a heterosexual agenda.
That's fucking crazy. It seems so ancient to me.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about you.
be honest, I feel like in some ancient times they had a better way of dealing with intersex.
I'm sure.
Like the Roman Empire, for instance, had a third sex.
Yeah.
And they had the rights, they had the if you looked a certain way or if you identified it in a certain way, that's how you got their rights.
Mm.
Like if you were a male, if you identified as male or if you look more male, that's what you got the male rights. It was not necessary if you look more female, it would not much been better, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still...
that still exists today.
But, you know, at least they had this understanding of a third sex.
Right.
Yeah, which they don't have... right now at all in the weird way, no.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just like, you know, I mean, obviously there's a lot of great that has come from the medical industry and science, but like,
sure,
you know, humankind has still just been trying to like figure it out for the last couple hundred years.
I also want to make sure I'm not against surgeries.
Yeah.
Especially like if it's life-threatening.
Right.
Sure. But I'm normalizing surgeries.
Yeah.
Before the patient can give consent, is something against human rights violations.
Yeah.
It should not be happening anymore. No.
Are there times when even the parents don't give consent? They don't need to give consent.
My parents had no idea really what was going on.
Right.
They just acted because that was the doctor was saying, like, oh, we should do this because he's saying this.
Yeah.
It was not because. It was also a different time.
Yeah,
this was
a time when
90s.
Doctors were like gods of sorts.
Yes,
yeah.
It's the 80s, 90s. There was no Google or Wikipedia or anything or any self online self-help group or intersex community that was my parents were able to contact. Mm. They never even heard the term intersex until I found out myself when I was 17. It's kind of hidden away from even my parents. Mm. They knew I wasn't going to be able to have kids. Mm. And that I wasn't going to menstruate. And like,
at how old?
They knew that pretty, they knew I couldn't have kids. That was the first thing they knew when I was 2 weeks old.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's when I went to...
Yeah, yeah. When you had the infection. Yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, I think by now more and more people can look it up, the certain things, which is great with the internet and the dawn of, like, everybody can, like, look up more things.
Right. Hey, I don't know if you heard, but signing up on our website, thelovebomb.us, automatically gets you entered into a contest where you could win a bunch of cool free Love Bomb shit. Get at it. Tell me about Interact. Tell me about what you're working on with Interact.
Interact has taught me so much. They are incredible intersex people who are uniting and putting all their energy in advocating and for intersex rights and visibility, mm-hmm. and to hopefully change some laws so all those horrible things won't happen anymore.
Right.
There's also other discriminations for intersex people in certain countries. For instance, even in America, I don't think I could join the army still, mm-hmm. or the navy still as intersex. I think trans now can, but I don't think intersex is included in that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wild.
You might have to fact check
this. Yeah, it's okay. We can fact check
But I'm
check
pretty
this.
Sure, I think, because there was something with the trans that could, but intersex was not included still. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What were you like as a little girl?
I was very fidgety, a little bit, I don't know, I was shy, a little timid. Shy is not the right word. Timid.
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 Mm-hmm.
How do you explain timid again?
Timid, like a little bit shy, not like fully shy. You kind of kept yourself some. You weren't very like courageous, timid?
I was courageous, yes.
Yeah.
I was like a tomboy mostly,
okay, you were a tomboy.
But then at the same time I had a lot of like, I don't know, yeah. I'm still a little bit the same like that actually.
Mm-hmm.
But the last few months have been very relieving.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah, it's
because
like,
you decided to come out as intersex, is what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah.
When
it
was
has
that?
Been the best and most. It's actually been for myself one of the best things I've ever done for myself.
Yeah,
too. I finally live my own truth. Yeah.
What made you decide ultimately?
I've been ready now. I feel like I've been finally ready to talk about it.
Yeah.
I knew more about my truth when I was 17, around the same time that I. Got discovered for modeling, like I think it was like only a month in between that, like I found out I was intersex. I was like this sad benched over 16 year old girl that was like always like I knew something was up but I didn't know what, and then I found out I was intersex. I met some people in Holland that had the same condition like me, or same intersex treats like me, and it kind of changed my mentality, and then I got discovered from modeling.
In Belgium, you got discovered?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
By
and
Tom
then,
Van Dorp, is that
yes,
your name?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
I know Tom.
And then I think that was my first, like, I just used my career kind of as kind of a healing process, too, in the first few years of, like, I was accepted as a female, and
right.
and
this like hyper version of a female,
yes,
too, being a model.
Kind of, yes,
yeah.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah.
Did you want to be a model growing
I
up? At all?
I never ever thought about
really?
That, and that was like never in my wildest imagination. Not. But then.
So did you like move to New York pretty much right away?
Straight after.
At 16.
17. Yeah. And then. I just focused on that for a long time and just, like, try to find myself. And, like, I made an amazing group of friends. I found my husband.
Mm.
Life was great.
At 17, you met your husband? 18?
Around 21,
Oh, 21?
Yeah.
Okay, okay.
And then...
Had you dated before that a bunch?
I've dated. Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, of course, I dated Tom Wendell.
Oh, really?
I feel like it's, like, the past 5 years, actually, I've been really wanting to do something for this, but it was there was no more time, not really actual time, to do it properly. I already wanted to do something for intersex awareness like years ago, but I was just trying to find the right moment, and it just all came together last year. Like I got married that summer, and
congratulations.
Now I have, thank you.
You're welcome.
And now I have like, I feel like so happy with my 20s. Like I turned 29 a few months ago, and I feel like this is like the perfect chapter for me to like come out now. And yeah, it's been amazing. Yeah, I also got in contact with the people from Interact like a year and a half ago, and everything came together wonderfully. And yeah, it's been helping me a lot as well, my coming out personally.
Has it affected your career for the better?
It's been very busy, of course. But if the point is also what I love about coming out later was
you already established
the fact that nobody ever judged me or used me for the fact that it could be like a trend or like a fad. Like I have my career, you know. I can't come as I am right now. Like there's no you booked me then, you thought I was great then. You used me for 12 years, and look at me now. I'm still here, and now this is my truth.
And now you're something else to talk about.
Yeah,
too.
So it's, I'm kind of happy that nobody ever had to judge me in my early career just because being intersex.
Right.
That makes any
sense. Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. You were treated like everybody else.
Yes.
And you still want to be treated like everybody else.
I infiltrated it.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you like the modeling industry?
I'm very, very happy, actually, that I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah.
I feel like modeling helped me to accept my body and my my womanhood.
Right.
Or my I don't even know. Womanhood is not even the right word. Like, my whole, like, it really made me find myself in a weird way. It made me accept myself and push boundaries that I would have probably, if I stayed in Belgium, would have never done. And also I met a great group of friends, and I've seen the world.
Right.
And like outside of intersex, I've just done so many other, like, it has helped me for so many things. I feel also like so many, like, there is some sad stories, and there's some there's definitely a lot of things that should be changed in the modeling world.
Right.
But
it doesn't have the best rap, the modeling
world. It doesn't have the
world.
Best rap, no. Yeah. There are a bunch of crazy people, for sure. But
do you feel like there's, like, inherent sexism and homophobia in the modeling industry?
There's a lot of, you know what, I feel like there's a lot of crazy, crazy motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
In the fashion world.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of everything.
Right.
But I do feel in other worlds, there is a lot of everything, too. If you go to, like, the business world, there's a lot of problems there, too.
Yeah.
In other business, like, I don't know, like, politics and, like, any other industry, I'm sure there's other
there's issues
problems,
everywhere,
too.
Yeah.
But I feel like the fashion industry is just more glamorous, and people just want to more gossip about the problems there than in any other industry. Sure, it's not all perfect, but I love it.
Yeah, good. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What was life like in Belgium before this whole second life of yours?
Well, I was 17 when I left. I had fun, but it was a little too small. I come from like a tiny village of 300 people.
Oh, wow.
And the closest birth to me was my brother, who was 2 years older. And then after me, probably like it took a few more years for another birth to happen.
Oh, really?
So it was a little bit sheltered. And it was lovely. But I'm very happy that I got to come to New York and actually like the multicultural and like how New York is just like, if there's a little bit of everything here, LGBTQI and every single color of the world, like every single ID. It was what I needed. I'm very happy that I got this opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you identify romantically today? Have you always been like a straight girl?
A straight girl?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, how can, I think it's all a spectrum anyway. It's right. a very interesting question because now it's like, what am I? I'm not a girl, so like, how can I be straight? I mean, I am a girl, like I identify as female, but I'm not, I identify as intersex female.
Right, okay.
Some people don't agree that intersex is a gender.
It's a gender, yeah.
But I do identify as intersex female. I don't know why, I do.
So before before you knew what intersex was, how did you feel like you identified?
I was a mess. I didn't identify with anything.
You didn't.
No, I was just confused. Yeah. I hated myself.
Really?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, so now I am, especially now when I come out, now I feel like, feel a little bit like, I feel like I'm finally part of the queer community in a way.
Yeah, you found your spot in it. Yeah.
I don't, like, so how can I say I'm still hetero? Like, I don't know. And also, like, I could fall in love with anybody in a weird way. Like, if
I love that.
Like, you know, it's, I wouldn't want, you never know.
Mm-hmm. But you fell in love with a man.
I fell in love with my man, yeah.
With a husband. Yeah. With your husband.
A cisgender male.
Cisgender
yes.
male. Where is he from?
He's from New Hampshire.
He's from New Hampshire. Yeah. Oh, you're an American boy, nonetheless.
Yeah.
All right. And how soon did some sort of conversation about this happen when you guys started dating?
We were friends before.
Okay.
For like about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And very early on, he also gave me a lot of, it was very comfortable to, too, because, you know, one of my main difficulty with being intersex was not being able to bear children.
Right.
But my husband is adopted, and he has a gorgeous, beautiful story. So for him, it was never an issue of not being able to have kids for himself.
I love that.
Yes, and so it was already like from the beginning on, like, okay,
he gets it.
It's. And it was never for him an issue for his manhood or his sexuality that it was an issue.
Yeah.
And he's been continuously supportive throughout this whole process, even the past 2-3 years now. And yeah, it's been wonderful. Yeah.
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 So you do want to adopt children at some point?
Yes.
This is
yes.
in the books?
Yes. It's in, yeah. It's in, yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
How many do you want?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
We'll see. Do you see yourself living in New York City for the foreseeable future?
I never thought I would be in New York, so I never know what I'm going to be in 10 years from now.
Right.
I'm very like...
Because you travel all the time.
I love traveling, yes.
Yeah, but like even just for work. Like you're working all over the world nonstop. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what... I don't like to make really crazy plans like that, what I see myself in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope I'm going to be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So growing up in this tiny little village, 300 mm-hmm. people, it was you, your brother, and your parents in the house.
Yeah.
And how many other families did you know? Did you know the other 296 people in the village?
It was mostly like elder people. Yeah.
Okay.
It was beautiful out there. It's very flat. It's very rustic and romantic, picturesque.
But this idea of family in this little village was very much so like husband, wife, kids.
Yeah.
You stay in this village forever.
Oh yeah, it's very like everything is like pre-made. Although I knew I wasn't gonna stay in the village for a long time.
Right.
Yeah, I knew already. Yeah.
Like, are most people farmers in this little village?
Yes. Back then, now it's changed. Now nightlife changed in the village.
Right, yeah.
But back then, yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember being taught anything about, like, what love was as a little kid?
I've actually come from a very loving family.
Yeah.
My parents are still so in love.
Mm-hmm.
And they are almost 60 now. And I had a great example from them.
Mm-hmm. Did they grow up in that same village?
They grew up in the town nearby. Yeah.
Town nearby, mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I always had a very good example of love, and I never had shortage of love. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must say I'm very lucky with that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's awesome. And where's your brother these days?
My brother is in Ghent. He's
Where is that?
Ghent is a beautiful town in Belgium with a beautiful castle and like lots of gorgeous, gorgeous history. Mm-hmm. And he's working with handicapped children.
Oh, I love that.
He's a great guy. Yeah. No, we had a good way of seeing love, and family life was good. I believe, like, even now, like, having a family seems one of the most, I mean, it is the craziest thing ever.
Yeah. Well, especially today.
I feel like it always must have been. Today, yeah. Today, for sure.
I mean, we just, like, we know so much more than our parents knew.
Yeah, but I feel like back then it was the same thing.
Yeah.
No?
It was just a simpler time, especially being out there, you know?
Yeah, but then before if you didn't look back 30 years before, then there was a war and stuff. It sounds very sad. Yeah.
But, I mean, like, we're the last generation that's going to know what life was like before the internet.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? You
know? It's fucking insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, the whole world's moving to, like, driverless cars and
what... But they never went to space. Mm. Or, like, they saw that space landing for the first time. Yeah, you know, that's crazy, too.
That's true.
You know, you have to put things in perspective. Now it seems like, it's normal, we went to space.
Right.
You know, but back then, you know, there's always...
But we, like, haven't even really been...
Things that you think is so normal were back then. I feel like l'histoire se répète, history repeats itself. Everything is always the same. It's just faces change, new inventions change. But most of the things, sadly enough, stay the same.
Did you have any boyfriends in high school at all?
I did. Mm-hmm. It was difficult for me. Whenever I got serious, for me, that was like, I was struggling with the fact that I knew stuff was wrong.
Right.
Even though I didn't really know exactly.
You just knew it was different.
Yeah, I knew at a certain point, whenever it became too physical, I was like, break off the relationship.
Huh.
Yeah, I even like made other, like I did like horrible things sometimes so they would be able to break up with me, because it was just like...
You would just fully sabotage the entire
sabotaging situation. The relationships, yes. Huh. Yes.
Because you were afraid of the physicality of it, or like the commitment?
I also was traumatized from certain stuff that happened to me. I've been probed as a child by the medical world, and that was never explained to me already why. So like whenever something sexual happened, it just reminded me of that. And I've only been out of that situation since I met my husband, actually. That I got over that.
Yeah. And you got fully comfortable with that.
Yeah.
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 What's the most romantic thing that you've ever been involved in?
My wedding, of course.
Your wedding? Talk to me about it.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, it was great.
Was it here, over there?
We had our wedding upstate.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Where upstate?
Roxbury, New York.
Okay.
It was major. Very major. Major.
Major. Who were you wearing?
I was my friend Alexander Wang made a gorgeous ensemble. It was great. It was all my friends and my parents and my brother and some friends even from home. And then a lot of John's family and his friends. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was like living so from worlds apart. It was like the only real fun reason why we would bring all the family together.
Right.
But when I was like a funeral, that sounds sad. You know, like you want to have people meet. I want to have his parents meet my parents and... You know, I want to have to see meet all my friends, and that was like celebration of love. Mm. It sounds very old school in a way, like marriage and stuff. But that was for me why I got married, and it was.
Did you always
want to
get married?
Sure. Yeah. 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 It sounds very classic, and then for a long time I didn't want to get married.
Right.
But then it's like. I just want to have this connection with families too, and the friends, and like. See everybody together as a celebration of our love, and to see everybody there. It was great.
That's what I call this show. This show is a celebration of love.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Are you super close with his family now too?
Yes. Yeah. They're wonderful people.
They're still in New Hampshire?
They're a little bit everywhere. Maine, New Hampshire. Yeah.
Such a pretty part of the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you love about fashion?
What I love about fashion.
Were you like obsessed with fashion before you became a model at all?
No, I never had any idea of fashion. I didn't know any designers.
Okay,
really.
So like at 15 years old in Belgium, what are you wearing?
I must say my style wasn't that bad. I'm not that embarrassed about it.
Good.
You know, like some Carhartt, some skate brands. Uh-huh. I was more like a skater girl. Okay. Like, you know.
Like, what were you watching on TV?
It was very like in MTV, you know.
MTV,
the MTV era.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it was very different than the one you see here.
Right.
But I was very into culture, history, mm-hmm. Psychology. And I do feel like science is kind of, fashion comes kind of in a weird way, fashion fits in there to me personally.
I love that.
Yeah, to me, it fits in there. It's like a representation of time, of even science fits in there. Like new fabrics get discovered
there's
been so many new fabrics. It's like if you see a certain outfit, you can sometimes find out so much about a person. Psychology, the era, like it tells a whole story, and it kind of made sense for me that I would be into it. But fashion, like I'm more into style than into fashion in a way.
Right.
I love clothes, I love designers, even what they make.
Right.
But trends and stuff for me, it's a little bit like I rather make them than follow them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're so
cocky, but
intertwined in all of them too. Like you're seeing shit happen before everyone else does because you're like working with it too.
Yeah.
You know, like okay, so if you could pick like let's describe because nobody can see you right now.
All right.
Let's just describe like what you're wearing right now.
Oh, what am I wearing right
now?
Yeah,
right now.
I'm wearing my Riri shoes. Thank you, Riri, for the shoes.
Riri Pumas.
Some fishnets. Some really ripped up jeans.
Some vintage jeans on top of the
fishnets.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a polo.
Van City weed polo. Van City, Vancouver?
I have no idea. It's a gift from a friend.
Van City is a weed shop in Vancouver.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I actually someone told me this before, but I didn't listen properly.
I was just in Vancouver and smoked a lot of wonderful Vancouver bud. Yes, I was up there for a month. And you have like a fishnet tank underneath.
Yeah, that's right.
What would you call this look of yours?
It's kind of gray, but it's beautiful outside.
Uh-huh.
And... I'm going to the city because I live in Brooklyn, so it's like...
Oh, you live in Brooklyn?
Yeah, the fishnets is like, I'm trying a little bit.
Yeah. You're like, it's that pop.
I'm going to the city.
Uh-huh. I love it. can we talk about this car accident?
Sure, yeah.
Tell me about this. I was shocked to learn about this.
I had a pretty crazy accident when I was around 18 years old. It's funny because I had like my first big money job and I was so eager to go home. I was like at my friend's house. It was like 7 o'clock. I was like, oh my God, I got to go home. I have like a really early job. And I was like rushing home and a car caught me through the red light.
Where? In the city
West
here?
West Village, yes.
West Village?
Yes.
So a car ran through the red light and you were walking.
I was walking, yeah. And I got hit, obviously. And I was a month and a half in St. Vincent's Hospital, back in St. Vincent's Hospital.
Month and a half.
And then a few weeks in Belgium, yeah.
So what happened? Crushed your legs? Broke?
I broke both my knees, both my shoulders.
Oh,
I had brain bleeding and just a whole bunch of others. The combination of all the stuff wasn't that great. But to be honest, it kind of was... a blessing in the sky, too, in a way. It sounds really crazy, but it opened up a perception for me. It's like, that was the time that I really decided, it's like, yeah, I just want to come back. I don't want to come back to New York. Like, I realized so many things. Like, I found out I had a great group of friends in New York, and I just wanted to come back really badly.
Mm.
And actually, back then, I decided too, slightly, if I get out of this wheelchair, I will do something for intersex one day.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow. So yeah. So it like gave you that time to think about what the game plan was.
Yes. Wow. And then only like 3-4 years, then it's like, no, it's about time.
I mean, so you like went from being in a wheelchair to like being back on the runway.
Yeah, the thing was I had the worst of the worst of the worst walks in fashion history ever.
Really?
I think if you ask any casting director or
like back then, you're saying from, like pre-accident.
Yeah, I think I needed to break all my legs
to learn how to walk again.
I literally had to learn how to walk again from scratch. Just so I could learn how to walk in heels. And that's what I did. I actually put the heels on in the wheelchair. Even when I just was like, not even, you know, just like getting used to it.
Right.
And it worked out pretty well. Huh. Yeah, it worked out pretty well.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
Yeah.
And so what? It was 2 years, 2008, you got back?
Yeah, it got actually quicker than anybody could ever imagine. My doctors were like, wow. It took me about a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what was the first show that you did post-accident?
I think I did every show after that.
Really? Yeah. You just went to a whole season?
I don't really remember which one was the first.
Yeah.
But like, it was like literally like, yeah. Welcome back.
Do you like doing shows?
I actually do.
What's it like for somebody that has no idea?
It's just like a rot. It's not even that. It's the whole thing is... It's kind of a mind game, too. It's like the whole castings and the pre-show stuff. And it's like...
Because you're like, you're like a supermodel, correct?
I don't like to say that.
You don't like to say that, but other people say that.
Sure, if you want to say that, thank you.
No, yes, absolutely.
It's just like, I enjoy it. You know, for me, it's always been enjoyable in a way. Because I always felt like I was hijacking, too.
Right.
The modeling world. Because I always felt like, oh, I'm just like watching it in a weird way. Because I knew my truth, but nobody else knew my truth. So any show that I did, for me, it was like, you don't even know it.
But aren't there like these ideas that like a lot of models and different actors and actresses might be intersex?
There is, yes.
Yeah.
There is. And I'm sure, Let's see. Maybe in like for me, it took a long time to come out.
Right.
So I understand if
I mean, because you're kind of like the first person in the industry to actually say something about it.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. I believe so. Yeah.
So you could like spearhead this whole fucking movement.
So we find out that listens,
the last like 50 years, every supermodel has been intersex.
And I also want to, with my story, I want to. It's hopefully opening for other intersex individuals that are. You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Exactly.
You can fucking walk the runway as whatever gender you want to identify with.
Like, yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Do you feel like the fashion industry is like moving more towards this androgynous stance on a lot of things?
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff happening right now.
Do you think it's like a trend right now that's happening?
It's a trend. Every trend comes back anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
I think right now I'm quite into what's happening right now in fashion. Diverse, like even diversity is not even the right word. That we can inclusion.
Yeah. All shapes, sizes, colors,
yes,
genders, races, sexes.
I think I'm very happy that I got to see that. I'm getting to see this,
yeah,
and that
and
I'm
you're
still
part
working.
Of it. Yeah.
Working in this dawn of fashion right now, I think it's great, and I hope to keep seeing this, and it's not a trend, but like an actual...
It sticks.
Yeah, it sticks.
It changes
and, like, people,
the game, yeah.
People can just... Trends in general, it's like people can just do whatever the fuck you want. Like, you do what you want.
Right.
Instead of just like following something that people... There's whatever you're going to decide, people are going to like no matter what.
Right.
If it's, don't start murdering people or anything.
Yeah, no,
but
no, no.
Whatever
as long as it's good.
Whatever you believe in, just do it. Mm. Like, it's.
What drives you outside of the fashion world? What is like your biggest passion in life?
I love fashion.
Yes, there you go.
I like traveling, nature, hanging out with my friends, just. I don't know, unwind.
Yeah.
Creating stuff like arts and I don't know. I have a great group of friends and It's, yeah.
Like, walk me through a day that you're not working.
Oof. I always wake up early.
Okay.
I go for a walk by myself. No, my days are never typical.
Right. I mean, mine either.
I'm not the typical girl.
Yeah.
I like a little bit variation. I think that's what drives me anyway. If stuff gets too repetitive.
Right. You get bored?
I become bored or a little sad, I guess. Mm. I like to be challenged.
Do you love yourself today?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
What does that mean? What does it mean to love yourself as Hana?
I'm content with myself, my actions, and I have fun too, and I feel loved and I can give love, mm-hmm. and I feel... I think maybe that's not... I don't know.
That works
just
for
content.
Me.
Just be content. I think content.
There's no right answer to this.
I'm content. I'm just content.
Yeah. I mean, people like dream of being content their entire lives
like
and never
reach
place.
It. Yeah, in a good place in my life where I feel at peace.
Good.
Yeah, at peace. Feeling at peace.
What is your diet like?
My diet? I have a diet of a 10-year-old kid at
really?
A birthday party. Yeah, actually...
Like chicken fingers, pizza, fries.
Yeah, and nachos.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly.
Nachos. Yeah, I'm not the role model for healthy living in that way, unfortunately. I have an extremely fast metabolism. It sounds cheesy and stuff, but it is true.
That's so annoying, but I feel so bad for you.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and that's also one of probably the reasons why being a model hasn't been that difficult for me
right.
in that way, of a certain way. My diet is pretty
Do you smoke?
Childish.
Do you drink?
I smoke some weed.
Mm-hmm.
I drink enough champagne.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. Why not?
Do you have a good time?
A good time. Mm-hmm.
All right, one more question for
All
you.
All right.
This is the, I guess two more questions.
Okay.
When you hear the title of the show, The Love Bomb, what do you see?
The Love Bomb? I see my husband with fishnets. I see my husband with fishnets on.
Yes,
bed.
Queen. I love that.
That's the love bomb right there.
That is fucking the best answer I've heard thus far. All right, last question.
Okay.
What is love? We talk about love all of the time. And, like, it's obviously this, like, huge driving force in the world. But I don't think enough people are actually talking about it. Like, what is love to you? Is it tangible?
Love is something sincere, something straight from the heart, something true, real. It can hurt sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something, like, you can't stop it, help it, and you can't change it.
Hmm.
It's something, yeah. It's something so lovely. Lovely.
Yeah, love is so lovely.
It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things, but sometimes you have to work on love too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, it doesn't come that easy. Yeah.
No.
And yeah. Yeah.
Well, this has been wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you. I had a great time too.
Yeah, I'm so proud of like what you've done in this space and like how you're using it. It just makes me really happy to see people that are changing the game and like living their truth and being unapologetically themselves. So thanks. And you're like paving the way for like an entire group of people that can now like totally, I don't know. You're fucking awesome. That's it.
Oh, you guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Spreading the love around. This is the love bomb. This is the show.
Hey, what's up, people? Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Hana, you are just an absolute doll. You are so major, as you would say yourself. No, but seriously, thanks for all the work that you do in the space of intersexuality. I think that we all have so much more work to do on just understanding the spectrum of gender and sexuality. Your bold voice really is a step in the right direction for the future that I definitely want to be a part of. For more information on intersex and how you can help out in any way, visit interactadvocates.org. That's interactadvocates.org. And for more info on this supermodel herself, check out her Instagram. It's at Hannah Gabby Sees. That's at HannahGabySees. And follow my ass on Instagram. It's at Nico Tortorella. Check out our website, thelovebomb.us. Comment on iTunes or wherever else you see fit. And check back next Tuesday because we drop in every week, y'all.
We're taking you up and down. This is the Love Bomb. We're about to explode. Nico.